Power. Our world is all wrapped up in that word. That word is called power. We've been looking at the power of God and the aspects of that power. Last sermon we preached last week was the power of love. And this is part two of that, if it may. There's two parts. God's love and that love being generated within you through the Holy Spirit, which indeed produces fruit. We've seen where the Bible tells us very clearly that God's power within us is that we are to be rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible says we're to comprehend together with all the saints the height, the breadth, the length, the depth of the love of God, that we might indeed know the power of God that was in us, because God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we even dream or ask through the power that is at work in us. The power of love is certainly demonstrated in our text this morning as John, who is the apostle of love, shares with us the fact that the very divine nature of God, God is love. One word, God is love. And it's the love of God that should draw you to Him. That should be the magnetic force that causes you to want to have a relationship with the one who created the world. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's the power of God. The whole aspect of that word preached, the aspect of that to those who are foolish, but to you and me who are being saved, it's the fact is that we see the cross as a demonstration of God's love for the world. For God loved the world that He gave His only Son, and Jesus came willingly because He loved His Father, loved you and me, and laid His life down on the altar of the cross and died for it. The cross, every time you see it, should demonstrate the power of God and His demonstration of His love for the world. We preach Christ and Him crucified. That is the power of God's love. It's in the cross. It's the cross that was read in our scripture for communion that brought down the middle wall, the barrier that separated the Jews and the Gentiles and made them one. It's the cross that causes that to happen. You see, the power of God was seen, yes, in His creation. Romans 1:20 says, "His eternal power and His divine nature is clearly seen through that which has been made." His divine nature. Well, what is the divine nature of God? God is love. Why did He create? Everything God created is a demonstration of His love. Everything He provided for you and I that we use and provide and clothing and food and you name it, it's a demonstration of the love of God when He created man in His own image. God's love is seen in His divine nature in the things that He has created, what He has provided for us. We should all receive it and take it with thanksgiving because we know it's a gift that God has given man of His divine love. His divine love. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 that it is the process that God upholds all these things by the power of His Word. God holds it all together, people. He holds it all together. He loves us. He loves man. What you and I see demonstrated in the world today is a result of sin coming upon the world, into the world. The Bible tells me the earth groans to be delivered from what has been brought upon her. Earthquakes, floods, you name it. It only shows to you and I the power that sin has as well and its effect upon that beautiful world that God created, that He created in love. And it's adverse to Him in every way, shape, a form. God did not cause that flood. My Bible says that God is good. That every good gift that comes and that we experience in life comes down from our Father in heaven. And that there is no variation, no shadow of turning. God, who is good, can't do evil. He cannot cause that element as far as the effect of it is concerned. But I can tell you this. It sure brings out the good in people, doesn't it? Who was made in the image of God. That ministry you and I support, AIDS, The report on what they are doing down there is mind-boggling. It is heartwarming. Sacrificially, people are pouring in from other churches that IDES are organizing and bringing churches of Christ, Christian churches, into Texas to feed, to clothe, volunteering their work. They have 17 churches in the Texas area, God's people that are coming into Texas to show and to demonstrate the love of God. The Bible says, love not in word, but in deed. It's a ministry of love. I thank God we have the opportunity to support what they do and how they do it. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And that offer of salvation, was it not a gift of God out of His love that He's offered man the opportunity to be saved and to spend eternity with Him? What is it? It's the power of the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Isn't it? That's the gospel. What is that? That's good news, isn't it? That's not bad news. That's good news. We preach good news, not bad news. And the good news of the gospel is that God so loved the world, He let His Son die, His Son was buried, but on the third day He rose from the grave, conquering death on behalf of all of us, all men, all people. Jesus, the death, the grave is empty. He is alive. And He's sitting on the right hand of God intervening on our behalf right now. That is the power of the resurrection, isn't it? Philippians 3:10, Paul states that I know Him and the power of His resurrection. I know Him and the power of His resurrection. Verse 21, it goes on and He says that who will transform the body of our humble estate and conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of His power. Which He has. Can you imagine that? Huh? The aspects of all of that. That God loves us enough that He wants you to have eternal dwelling with Him. And someday, you know, when Jesus died for you and you accepted Him and you were washed in the blood of the Lamb, His blood purchased your body. Your body belongs to God now. And He's coming back to redeem it. It's going to be changed. Planted mortal, raised immortal. When you and I see Him, we're going to be transformed and we're going to become like Him. Isn't that an unbelievable fact of love? You know, when you think about it, the power of His resurrection, the aspects of all of that. Why is He coming back? He's coming back to get His bride. And aren't we as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it? Why would He come back for it? Because He loves this church. He loves the bride. He loves you. He's coming for you someday. Promises that. Every time we meet around the Lord's table, we show the Lord's death until He what? Until He comes. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming again. It's all about God's love, isn't it? Isn't it all about God's love, the power of His love? As we mentioned last week, we were created in the image of God, and God is love. We were created to love, and we were created to be loved. We're biologically needing not only to love, but to be loved. And that which is destroying people's lives physically, mentally, emotionally, is the lack of God's love in their lives today. I'm not talking about earthly love. I'm not talking about emotional love. I'm not talking about feeling. I'm talking about agape, a God that comes directly to you and I through the Holy Spirit and poured out into our hearts by God Himself when we become His children. That's agape love. That is not earthly love. It is a God that comes directly to you from God. It is a gift. And He wants that love to be demonstrated in your individual lives. And the power of that love is seen in the very aspect. The fact is we love because He first loved us. Isn't that what John said this morning? Certainly did. The power of love is that love never fails. Love never fails. When a marriage fails, when a relationship fails, when a church fails, when people's lives fail, it's because they fail to experience and demonstrate the love of God. People say today, and I've heard and I counsel people, well, I love my wife, really. How kind are you to her? How patient are you with her? How forgiving are you? How willing are you to believe in her, to endure, and to put up and forbear her? Because love believes all things, it endures all things, it bears all things. God's love does. He puts up with you. I'm sorry. He puts up with me. He bears with us, doesn't he? He believes in us, doesn't he? He had to believe in us to let his son come down here and die for us. Love does not fail. God's love does not fail. Earthly love, love of this world, will fail. Eros, friendly love, philatelic love, you name it. But agape love from God poured into our hearts will not fail. It will not. It can't. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust his everlasting power. Jesus will not fail. Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus never fails. Paul said, I don't live anymore. I've been crucified with Christ. It's Jesus, it's Christ who lives in me. You know what he said? Paul says, I travail over you, Colossae, until Christ be formed in you. I'm supposed to be dead. We're the body of Christ. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is to be living in me. And Jesus' love does not fail. It will never fail. It cannot fail in every aspect of it. But as we look at our text this morning, John writes and says, the power of love is that casts out all fear. It casts out all fear. You know what he said? He said, we have come to know, verse 16, and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. What is he? If you're going to know God, you've got to know he is a God of love, okay? That means he's kind, he's patient, he's forgiving, he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He will be merciful to our iniquity, and he will remember them no more. Isn't that what God's word says? This new covenant that we live in today? It certainly does. But he goes on and says, and the one who abides in love abides in God. Well, what if you don't abide in love? Well, then God isn't in you. Because God is love. And by this love is perfected, matured, made complete with us. So that we have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, what does it say? As he is, so are we in this world. God is love. So as he is love, so are we to be love in this world. How in the world is the world? How are people going to know the love of God if they don't see it in you and me? You know, when you read God is love, that's just words, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it just words? Yeah, it is. But God wants to love the world and he wants to demonstrate it. He demonstrated it through his son by letting his son die for us. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that you're supposed to be dead and you're supposed to consider yourselves to be dead? Indeed, dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ your Lord. And that God is to be alive in you and that his love is to be permeating your heart and your life, transforming you into a kind, patient, forgiving person. You see, love is what you become. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's who you are. And when people see you, they see a man, a woman who is kind and patient and forgiving, believing. And that's what love is. It's something that can be seen and experienced and not felt, but necessarily experienced in life. You know whether or not your husband loves you or not, don't you? Huh? Those three words have gotten through the world and you've been used to use people all, oh, I love you, really. Really? I don't want Marilyn to know that I love her. You know what I want? I want Marilyn to see love living with her. I want God to help me to show Marilyn what love's all about. You understand what I just said? I want to be able to say, Marilyn, I want to be loved to you. Is there a difference than saying, well, I love you, Marilyn, than be able to say, I want to be loved to you? What does that mean? I want to be kind, patient, forgiving. I believe in her. Okay, so she puts up with me. So she got a lot more love than I do. That's okay. I can understand that, and I can accept that. But the point is, life in itself, we have said like last week, life is in the blood, right? We know God says that in Exodus. Well, I believe today we could say life is in love. If you want your Christian life to come alive, then you start letting God's love fill your heart. Be filled with the love of God. Be filled with God. And let the love of God flow in you. And you'll come alive like you maybe haven't come alive in a long time. Churches today could come alive if they would let God's love flow through them one to another. And bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And become Christ to one another. Demonstrating continuously not only the fact that God loves us, but God loves you and me through us as a people. As a people. And I believe that your marriage could come alive. You could really enjoy your relationship. You could really get up in the morning excited about the fact that you live with love. Huh? Instead of bitterness. You ever wonder, gentlemen, why God's word warns us not to be bitter against our wives? You wonder why God says that the husband is to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and did what? And gave himself for it. Sacrificed himself for it. The aspect of all of that, of course, is why didn't he say, perfect love casts out all hate? Why didn't he say that? Well, it is fear, I believe, that many times is the instigator of hate. We can see fear controlling our nation right now. That's what's causing all the demonstrations, all the issues, and all the things that are rising up on our land today because people are fearful. Fearful of what's coming up on them and what's happening, and they don't understand it. And therefore, fear is controlling and affecting our country unbelievably. It's affecting our business world. And the greed and the dishonesty that's going on in our political world. It's fear. Fear they won't have enough. Fear whatever. And they're willing to do whatever in order to provide for themselves. That's all they're concerned about. The narcissistic world that we live in, it's all about me today. And the fear that I'm not going to get what I have coming. Fear I don't get what I need. Fear, fear, fear. And fear breeds hate. And if you don't love your brother whom you can see, how in the world, if you hate your brother, how can you love God whom you do not see? You know what he said? Why did he bring the word hate? Isn't hate an awful powerful word? Isn't that an emotional word? When you think of hate, okay? But I believe fear is what breeds frustration and anger and hate that a man will take a gun, go into McDonald's, and just take innocent people's lives. That's going on all over the place, isn't it? Isn't it? It certainly is. You know what Luke 21:26 says? You know what Jesus tells us there? Jesus says, men fainting from fear and the expectations of things which are coming upon the world. Fear. Men's hearts fainting. Giving up. You know how many young men are having heart attacks in the late 20s and 30s and early 40s today? Huh? Because of fear, stress, frustration, failure, all the things that happening and brings and what the world's bringing upon them today. Your physical heart can't take it. You were not created that way. You were created for love and to be living in the love of God. And love of God, do you not believe that God will provide for his own? Didn't the Bible say, don't be afraid, don't think about it, don't even take a thought about tomorrow. Why? Yeah, if God sees the sparrow fall, God numbers the hairs on your head, must be he cares enough about you that he knows everything that's going on, right? He knows your needs. He knows what you're going to need tomorrow. Don't be afraid of tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of it, because God's already there. You know that God's already in your tomorrow? Just live today. Doesn't today have enough issues of its own? Isn't that what Jesus said? If God took care of the foxes and gives them and the birds he gave nests and Solomon in all of his glory when he was arrayed and all that element of, as he says, will he not take care of you and me, O ye of little? You see, it all comes back to whether or not you really believe God loves you or not, right? How can you cast all your anxieties upon him if you don't really believe he loves you and he cares? But the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Thus we can say that God is our helper in time of need. Have you read that? Philippians, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Isn't that what he said? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Therefore, whatsoever things are good and pure and lovely and have virtue and whatever, let your mind dwell on. Wouldn't that be a salvation to a lot of people if you just really knew that God loved you? And you could keep your mind on things that are good and lovely and pure. Because a lot of our problems are where our mind is, isn't it? And if your mind is set on things of the world, well, John had already said, if you love the world and the things of the world, then the love of God doesn't abide in you. You know that's what he said? Yeah, he did say that. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, because of iniquity or sin, lawlessness increases, most people's love will grow cold. Isn't that amazing today? Many have grown cold, even in our churches today. We could become cold to people being lost, having no hope in this world, having no love in their lives. And we could just become totally cold and indifferent to what is going on in our world today. They are afraid to love many people. You know what costs to love today? You know you're the one that takes the risk if you're going to love. Are you listening to me? Do you hear what I'm saying? What did it cost the God of love? What did it cost God to love you? What did it cost his son to love you? Yes, people could very well get hurt, couldn't we? We could very well be, as it is, disappointed in people and whatever. We could even and have people leave us because love can lead to loss. But love more often leads to gain and fulfillment. You see, love isn't for your benefit and it's not for your gain. Love has to be seen and experienced by someone else. Right? Did you know that Chris was getting on his way to heaven? Chris Timkoff, and Chris, you know, it's pretty weak right now. And I could tell Chris wasn't going to make it. And so I told Chris, get on my back. I'd carry him the rest of the way. Isn't that big of me? I love him. So Chris got on my back, and I carried him all the way up to the gates of heaven. And Peter got there, and he said, Chris Timkoff, wow, I'm so glad to see you. Come on in, Chris, and leave your donkey outside. Well, I was going to say Dave Fox, but I knew I couldn't carry him. You understand that love bears all things? That means it upholds all things. Love hopes all things. Have you lost hope? When people lose hope, they lose the purpose for living, don't they? Isn't hope the anchor to the soul that keeps us steadfast and sure? Love makes us endure all things, Marilyn. Love makes people endure all things. You're about the guy who raises vegetables, had his truckload of vegetables, taking it to the marketplace, and he had a flat tire. He goes back and look at it. It's a man. He says, I should have bought some asparagus. Thank you. You got it. I guess I should have bought some asparagus. Man, I hate having to explain things like that. Some jokes just go flat, don't they? You know what? I know today that I can stand assured that the love of God is flowing in us, in this body. You showed it in the last few weeks. We need to continue to love one another. And our love needs to increase. We shouldn't ever be satisfied that I can love enough. I don't want to stand before God someday and have God, I want to have God be able to say that, no, you didn't love it. You could have loved more. I want to be able to know that God could say that I loved as much as I could possibly love, to as many as I could possibly love. And I want to hear him say, well done, Bill. You loved. You loved. You cared. And that's what gets me up every morning. That gets me out at night teaching people, helping people to grow, trying to do what I can to demonstrate the love of God. Because I believe that's what we're called to do. We're called to show God's love to a lost and dying world. We are people of the light. We walk in the light as He is in the light. And that light is nothing more than an unbelievable demonstrating of the fact that God loves us. And the world needs to know that. Amen? Love that's pure and holy. Love that's strong and true. Love to save the sinner and make his heart like new. Love that's everlasting. Love that will not fail. Love to keep us fulfilled through every stormy gale. Love that drives out fear. Such love comes from Jesus, our Lord, who's ever near. Love never fails. That's the power of it, isn't it? It's the fact that God's love never fails. And you and I will not fail in our Christian walk if we love the way God's called us to love. This congregation will grow and continue to be the people that God wants us to be if we allow the love of God to flow one to the other. Your marriage can be a lot more than it is. You know what? I counseled a gentleman whose wife had not talked to him, said a word to him for over 7 years. And he was heartbroken. He didn't know. He was a Christian man. He loved the Lord. And he loved his wife, but he didn't know what in the world to do. And I just simply said, you have no other answer. You need to show her the love of God. You need to do things. You need to start acting and demonstrating the fact that you love her, which he started doing. He started doing housework. He started helping with the dishes. He started doing things around and just constantly trying to show him or his wife that he loved her. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. I remember him coming to my office and tears dry, calling down his cheek, and he says, it's not working. I can't keep on going. I said, love never fails. You gotta keep showing her your kindness and your patience and every aspect. Forgive her for what she's doing right now. Don't be bitter against her. You can do that. God can help you to do that. He kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And then one time he comes to my office. He was bawling, but he was rejoicing. I said, well, what happened? And I said, you know what I did? I went home from work this last Friday night, Bill. And he said the table was spread with white linen. There was candles on the table. She had made me my favorite meal. And she started talking to me. She apologized to me. She said, I want to have whatever that is you got. We baptized her. And they began to have a wonderful relationship. You see, love sacrifices. Somebody's got to pay the price. I guarantee you. If 1 Peter 3 means what it says, that an unbelieving husband can be won by a believing wife without a word, but by her chaste and loving and kind and respectful behavior, there's power in that, isn't it? If a Corinthian writer meant what he said, Paul said, do I need another letter of recommendation? You are my letter of Christ, written not on table or on tables of stone, not on paper or ink, but upon your human heart. God is writing his letter on your heart, known and read of men. What is the letter? God loves the world. He loves you. Show it to the world. Demonstrate it. You can change people's lives. You know that? You have the power in love to change people's lives. Don't tell me you don't, because I've seen it in my own personal life. I know it works. Love does, okay? God's love. It really does. Are you a Christian this morning? Many of all you are Christians this morning, right? So do you belong to Jesus? Does Jesus belong? Remember that song? We sung it after you were baptized? Huh? Did you get the message that's in the song? Let's stand and sing it together. Okay?